Welcome to the Satirically Challenged Show podcast. A few notes before we begin. This podcast is
Boss, you want to try that again?
I didn't mean that. I meant Boxing Roots. Sorry, that's wrong too. That was for the other podcast.
Yeah, I've said too much.
I meant to say the population of disabled people, of which there are 1 billion of us worldwide. Sorry, did we offend you already? If we did, accidentally or otherwise, we have doctors standing by to take your calls. Wait, we know what you're thinking.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I've tuned into the wrong podcast.
Doomsday. The end of the world.
I'm going to sanction them. Trust us when we say it's been done, not to us, but we just want to tell you that the opinions and the hosts are not condemned or owned by Blog Talk Radio or any other network.
Hey, Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa. I want you to get me an Oompa Loompa right away.
All right, Ruko, all right. I'll get you one before the day's out.
I want an Oompa Loompa now!
Can it, you nit?
Be careful, Veruca.
Whatever. Like we said at the top of this announcement, this show is run by trained staffers.
We totally agree on that point.
Oh wait, we did say that. We said it was run by people with disabilities. That's true. Anyway, we may have other hacks in the control booth, with the exception of their boss Rhino, who heads our politics department, who... Satire isn't going away, and we've only just begun. Season 7, you're in trouble. Even though you're... Well, we know you have a very little kitchen... Next to Gordon Ramsay's or Jamie Oliver's. Your kitchen is shite. We know. Get out of the kitchen. And we're implying nothing by that. Also, quack doctors, people opposed to free speech, jail politicians, we're on to you. Also, dictators. People that are neurotypical.
You talking to me?
Is it everyone? If you're not, here's the definition. Which is defined as two or more people who are considered to be normal. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, we have news for you. You're not normal. But we do encourage you to go, please, please, please go straight to your doctors and get your head checked. And enjoy the podcast. Thanks.
Really sorry for us. They say, we say that honestly. In truth, we feel sorry for him because, well, we don't like internet trolls. We love our kind. We hate the current state of affairs with the governing body of the world and wish to God we could have the extra arm strength to crush its bones. But I digress. The purpose of Trollbook was to capitalize on the scarcity of trolls socially commenting on drug juice, which is what I agree with you, Ted. I just think it's a stupid premise for a joke at the expense of us. It's baseless, callous, and spiteful. I mean, Ted, all we do is grind them up. If they make us angry, then we use some of their bones as those little... What are they called?
Ooh,
yes, them. That's what a treat that is. Anyway, yeah, we're going to be getting a petition together to oppose. Thanks for having us in Pinkhood. Cheers.
Thank you, Nancy, for having me on your show. In regards to martini steaks, I, for one, want to make it clear that water is indeed my friend. Not only do I drink and swim in it, but I also make believe that there are lions that stand on their feet and wag their tails. Water makes the world go around. I see sharks that wave at me, and even SpongeBob is jealous of my looks. My hair is so greasy underwater that I think it put Fred the fish into a coma. Ha! Top that, Fred. Oh, dang! I drink that sparkling water, which means... I'm smarter than Albert Einstein.
Woo! Look at me! I'm smart! SMRT!
On top of the world! A troll? Me? I don't think so. I'm just a dude that likes water and likes to swim in it and makes believe that he can do all without looking and sounding normal.
So, yes, there's our interview with the trolls. And yet, we have found out that there's some... there tends to be some issues hitting Cheesecake Factory, right? Redhead, Grizz?
Well, I mean, in terms of the issues of the Cheesecake Factory, I mean, there are lots of issues besides fantastic food. But, I mean, when it really comes down to it, it also can get pretty politically heavy, too. I mean...
Right.
The fact is that, really, when we really look at this, it's a stupid situation about Republicans really kicking the shit out of Democrats.
I think it's better off not to even bring up who they are, because if you think about it, these people are peeved because, someone doesn't want, because they want a group, more specifically, to bend over backwards so they could all agree for one reason alone.
You know, I think this is an issue of free speech.
Oh, yeah.
Speech. Which gives people the right to express how they feel about someone or something at the way that they feel most passionate about. And in this case right now, especially in this climate where people want to represent something or someone that isn't based on their own ideas.
Right.
You hear people wearing hats of the person in charge in our country, and the people that actually wear these hats, they're trying to make a statement. They're making a statement saying that, we're going to support this guy based on what he does and what he's all about, and you're not going to tell me otherwise.
Right.
My opinion, what they
right,
don't...
Your opinion,
your opinion is wrong. I mean, Drew...
That's how we end up twisting free speech, because...
Oh, yeah.
Instead of appreciating what others have to think, instead, we try to impose our own ideas and our own beliefs onto others. And that's where tension rises.
Oh, yeah. And yet they think hurting a company's pocketbook is justifiable. All because they don't like what they have to offer. If they don't like what they have to offer, then don't eat there.
I mean, granted, Pinko Driz, I mean, granted, it's great food. I'm not dissing the food. It's the fact that the particular person in question was totally scared of the person who fist-bumped another co-worker and then started smacking his fist trying to scare the person. And the fact is then, you know... Ann Coulter always sticks her nose in almost everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
Right.
Coulter, yeah, it's an act. It's an act, Coulter. Yeah, we know that. But in the fact of Ann Coulter sticking her saying, oh yeah, Joseph should be receiving cheesecake for life. Anybody who receives cheesecake for life, oh my God, I feel sorry for you. Why? Because
that's giving you a good excuse to get fat.
Exactly. Exactly. Not that I'm one to drink cider, so I'm not complaining.
But come on now, every day? Eating every day?
Every day.
I think that there's... If someone wants to eat there, you may not be able to prevent them, but you could certainly say, hey, isn't there other places where you could go and eat? Preferably, that could be healthier options.
You're not going to see any one of these guys at, like, a vegan restaurant. You're never gonna, like, it's just never gonna happen.
No matter the case, everyone has, people might want to be either certain way, but not necessarily can afford it. So who's to say so telling someone how they should live their life when in fact could be the downfall of the person's well-being. Yes, everyone has a choice to put that food in their body.
Yeah.
Does it make it right? Not always. But it's not like you're going to go to them and say, you must do.
Or, no. I mean, you could do. And people do that. You know?
And it doesn't always make it right.
It may not make it right,
that lends
but...
to, and that also lends to more more issues with having some sort of eating disorders. So, in fact, how can this be correct? How can you correct something if you're unable to see what the other person could be? And not all everyone who, and there are people who go there and could be healthy, but could have medical issues too. So it's very difficult.
Okay. From a person, from a personal point of view, I mean, any person who's wearing that hat seems to get intimidated and teased almost immediately, if you notice that.
And
if you notice,
and that's
every time
cool.
It's brought up, no, every time it's brought up, oh yeah, you're wearing a red hat, you should go. You know.
Right.
Every time it's rotten, like, you're walking, like, people don't tease me because of my red hood. But yet, if I were to wear a hat that was red, it's almost like, do you have the lettering on the front of it? No. Okay.
What does your hat tell as a message?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And that's what this person is doing. Not that we're going to sit here and analyze the thing. No, we're here to make fun of it. But, like, the fact is, really, I mean, okay, so if it was, if we're going to, like, the strength of, like, a Dr. Seuss, right, it would be Dr. Seuss versus the Grinches and the Grinches versus the Whos.
Right.
Okay? So all the Whos are wearing blue hats, right? All the Grinches are wearing red hats with their doppelganger maxes at their side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like anybody, yeah, you're gonna a Grinch is gonna fist bump a Grinch, but is going a Grinch gonna fist bump a Who? Not if she's not Cindy Lou. No. But at the same time, anything that's opposite is recommended. Anything that's sane is not recommended. So, if you know, if you declare in your household, in your state, in your country, today is opposite day. Anything that I say, do not trust. Okay. Do you know what I mean, Driz?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Back
mm-hmm.
me up on this. You back me up on it. You know,
right.
Actually, like, if I said cheesecake for life and you said, no, I can't. How many types of cheesecake are there? Well, there are several hundred thousand kinds. Oh, really?
Too many flavors. There's so many flavors of cheesecake.
Exactly. Too many flavors.
You and I are a different person, are different people. So you may like vanilla cheesecake. I may like strawberry cheesecake or blueberry cheesecake. So
mm-hmm.
our taste differs in whatever that we are so passionate about. just the same way as we are passionate about our arts and the message behind our arts. If we wear a specific cap or a specific hat and it has a specific message on it, then that pertains to us.
Right,
of course,
right.
We're going to be talking about that message, so it's not like, oh, this person has to agree with what the message that I'm wearing on my cap is saying.
Right. And the fact is that if you noticed, right, not to go back to this person's, you know, uprise, but if you notice something, all right, if you don't take away any of what we're saying, notice this. Anybody who wears a red hat is fucked. Anybody who wears no hat at all is not.
Right.
Notice that.
If you wear a red hat nowadays, you're just asking to be jumped.
Yeah, you're asking to be jumped. Not only that, you're asking to be jumped and you're asking to go like saying, oh yeah, I think I'm going to actually jump this person. No, it's not a thing of going, yeah, I'm going to go around the corner and I'm going to go and jump them. All right, fine. I'm going to go and jump them. All right, okay. Yeah, the jump has been successful and we're off to the races. You know,
right.
I mean, like no matter what, I mean, and then they debate about the size of the hat, right? And what it is. Is it a trucker hat? Is it a beanie? Is it a this? It is a that. It is it this? Is it that? Is it you have a frog on your head? Okay. Is it red? No. Is it blue? No. Is it green? Yes. Thank God you have Kermit the Frog on your head and not some other Muppet.
Sorry.
God and the Muppets. But it's the end of the story. It's like Grover versus Elmo. That's a whole nother debate.
No, Miss Piggy versus...
Or who likes peanut butter and jelly? Versus ketchup and mayonnaise on fries.
Or ketchup and mayonnaise on fries, I don't know.
Or, wait. Pineapple on pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Pineapple on pizza, I don't know. But anything else? Maybe. You know, maybe, sure. Anything else? Yeah, all right. We'll have a go at. That's if you like it. You know what I mean?
And everyone there's so many people who like one thing over another. How many times do you hear people
I may like cheese curds on my french fries, and Pink Hood may not. She may think that it's disgusting. Red Hood, would prefer mayonnaise over french fries.
No, I would not. I would prefer...
I know, but I'm just saying I'm using that as an example.
I know. It's a good example if it included the word béarnaise sauce. That is fantastic. Oh my god. Oh my god. You want something really good on fries? Béarnaise sauce. All the way. Yet. See, it's differentiation. And then to really hit it home, this person, he should have been in like a Waffle Hut, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than
more like an IHOP at that.
An IHOP, a Waffle House, any of those things, you would have seen this. But
I mean, have you tried a French fries with ranch dressing?
No, I haven't.
Blue cheese and French fries.
Yes.
Either blue cheese dressing or blue cheese. That's a good combination to me. I don't know if Johnny would like that stuff, but
I can't complain about blue cheese. I can't complain at all.
Bro, you and I on the blue cheese team.
Yes, I am.
I mean, listen, I am,
You gotta be chunky, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on the blue cheese. Pinkhood, what do you think?
I don't know. I like blue cheese, but not on french fries. I personally go hot wings, buffalo wings. That's a good combination.
I mean, I'm going to name drop,
but Heinz ketchup.
Heinz ketchup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Heinz ketchup. Meh. I mean, it's too sugary for my taste. But how did we get to food and back to this? The thing is that Cheesecake Factory, I didn't go to a Cheesecake Factory until, like, maybe 4 months ago. All right? So, I was missing out, and I didn't know what I was missing out on, and I was like, Cheesecake Factory, really good. The lines, holy shit. No wonder why the DMV is so popular. I mean, the lines are, oh my god. If I had to wait for that long again, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I'd probably just get it to go.
That would be interesting.
I mean, but then it would take 25 more minutes for the chef to go, it's ready!
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the same time, you know, it's kind of one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But also, also, with things that, because of the fact that the polarizing nature of this, all right, it is that you're willing to beat somebody up in a red hat. What if it was a delivery man? What are you going to do then?
At that point, you're just screwing yourself over.
So, the guy delivering your Chinese food or your Indian food goes, I'm going to wear a red hat because I have a safety thing, right? Oh, shit, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be misrepresented because I did something wrong? Okay, no. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the fact is, Twitter users came out in droves against the Cheesecake Factory with Ann Coulter saying he should receive cheesecake for life. Now, if Twitter users come out and say it, that's one thing. But yet,
Ann Coulter is another. She's just trying to sell her books of nonsense or whatever to people with no care in the world.
We're going to need a 3-hour podcast for this one.
We're not because we're moving on. We're not because we're moving on. Next.
Next.
So, Pinkhood, what is happening in terms of this Halloween episode? Isn't it a bit too early for Halloween?
It deals with a lawsuit that was dismissed that dealt with a teacher who is diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. They had an issue where where the school was dismissed. The teacher must have did something that led to some misconduct with the person's different ability, and apparently the person was awarded, granted this is in euros, 646,000 dollars at least,
and
from, I maybe miss, I don't want to misquote anything, I just, it's very in compensation. However, it was dismissed because it wasn't a disability case in the appellate court.
Yes, but
in
the appellate courts are what?
They are the courts where you could appeal whatever case.
So he won the equivalent, you said 600 something euros?
Yeah.
$760,000 and 31 cents.
Okay. Which means now the judge apparently dismissed it because it wasn't a disability discrimination case. Which I just think if someone has a different ability, shouldn't there be also ADA accommodations, reasonable accommodations being met?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
And showing, and the teacher showed, as a result of high stress, the Halloween film.
As a result of high stress. So high stress gets you to get to
show a static. The movie was to show an example of high stress, that he was exemplary stress. Which if the teacher was dealing with stress of any kind, shouldn't the school try to work with his schedule, try to work and to figure out a happy medium, especially following ADA? Most people, I would have thought, since you're a professional, there would be ADA as well involved.
Possibly, but not every case is
right. But because the person is working, that's where the ADA comes into play.
Right, but not in a way that is
the most beneficial.
Exactly.
Which is horrible when an educator I think the judge should have really looked at it and weighed options too.
I mean, listen, the judge should have weighed the options.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think that it was anything but, you know what I mean?
Right. And it's difficult to even think.
What?
Necessarily. I think, yes, okay, so the person won money. In a legal court case, it's another to then okay, appellate courts means that they could appeal the ruling, the opposing party. Because sometimes judges could even get things wrong, too.
Rarely do they get things wrong.
Very true.
Rarely do they get things wrong, Pinko. They don't get it. It's not like...
But some judges can, if you think about it. What about the kids for cash?
That is definitely wrong.
You could...
Like 100%.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
That one, you can't
kids
exactly...
Kids for cash is like...
Just...
No. Kids for cash is almost like selling you an auto part in place of a body. It doesn't work.
Nope, it doesn't.
It doesn't work. And yet, you know, it doesn't work, period.
Right.
You know, yet, Driz, do you have anything to say about this?
Yeah, I agree with Pinka saying that it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work, especially if the teacher was in their right mind of showing the movie Halloween, the R-rated version of Halloween, because that kind of exposure to high school students is inappropriate. And not only is it inappropriate, but it can also cause a lot of confusion as to why the teacher would want to show a movie like that to a bunch of high school students, and especially the teacher who had the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And he or she suffered from stress. I mean, it would have made
sense. And there's a lot more to hurt the situation as well. And how could we? It's very difficult, too, to just. And if a judge makes the wrong decision, it really puts people in a really difficult position, too.
Yeah, it does.
Because the courts want to help make the appellate courts, yes, they want to try to get everything. They want to appeal the cases, but not every, there will always be winners and losers.
You win some and then you lose some.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you win some and you lose some, but at the same time, because you have high stress, I'm going to watch the musical the movie Halloween. Come on. If Halloween were a musical, that would be
absolutely or hang out with a friend or somebody.
If Halloween was a musical, I wouldn't watch it. Because that would be ridiculous.
Mm.
There's a lot of things that you can do to reduce your stress level. I mean, go...
Right, and we also have to think... If the person was under far more stress, you don't know. We have no idea.
No, we don't. And so we go.
We don't know what the stress level was of the individual.
No, but at the same time,
this teacher could have gone through family death or
the
loss of a personal one that increases stress level, or the fact that maybe he or she broke up with their boyfriend or girlfriend. The teacher, whoever it is, may have had a bad relationship and decided to get out of it in time so that they could save themselves from even more mental stress.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. It could be issues like that can cause someone to just not use their sense properly, not use their judgment.
Right. And
when it comes to things.
I mean, it is one of those things when you don't use your judgment, but you do use everything else and trying to actually Maybe you don't know. Maybe that might have been a coping mechanism. I mean, watching a very scary movie because you have high anxiety? Okay.
Probably not.
It really did. And if the person was really under high stress, cystic fibrosis, yes, it's a condition. It's another thing to, if the teacher didn't have any misconduct on the record, so they could so it could have been more in their favor, could have had better favor for the court system.
We will never know, Pinkwood. We will never know.
Right.
But
we'll never know the answer.
But
we won't all be right.
Right.
About it.
Right.
Exactly.
And there's an author that actually just says start to focus her that won a literary award for a few other books, and now she's coming out with a book called So Lucky that is focusing more on different abilities and social issues and also LGBTQ issues as well.
Well, I mean, these days they all go together. The fact is that this book is the first of the year that the fact is she wrote this writing its sequel hid Menwood and was about 660 or 60,000 words in when she got the opportunity to do a PhD at the Angela Ruskin University in Cambridge, and this was her PhD, which is quite interesting. And then she worked on her PhD for a few months on her first draft and sent this off to her advisor in the UK, and then they had a 3-week period where they didn't really go back to the novel, but the engine was still running. And she didn't know where to turn it. And so she just sat down and this stuff came roaring out, just pouring out, ripping, gushing at a high velocity, like a kind of fire hose thing. And 2.5 weeks later, she had the first draft finished. I can tell you at least James could tell you as a writer for the show, it is kind of like that because, he works on pieces all the time that are first drafts. And sometimes they're really good. And sometimes they're absolute crap. You know? But this is a book that is, by her own account, nothing that she's done before at all. You know? And she's known for her lesbian pie, her novels featuring lesbian pie on Torvington, which also includes the titles Stay, The Blue Place, and Always. And then her 7th century novel, Hid.
And she won several awards. Hid. She's definitely She definitely has a nice repertoire as well.
Yeah, a nice repertoire, and not only that, but the book cover looks
It looks like something that would get everyone interested in reading.
It kind of looks like she's purposely burnt the novel. You know? The fact is that this entire thing is a lot of about healthcare and what was going on at the time and what is actually going on now. And just recently, you know, for anybody who wants to join Oliver's Last Week Tonight, they discussed about rehab. And so that was Sunday night show, I believe, and that was fantastic. Way to go, John and his team.
Yeah.
We'll say that. However, you know, the fact is that this book is something that you should definitely go out and get. We are planning on getting it, and then we'll see what happens after that. But,
yeah, it would be great to see her success continue.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a really long book, you know?
Yeah. She took her time with it.
Well, I mean, somebody...
She didn't find herself. That's what they say.
Yeah. But the thing is that when you write, you spend quite... A person just goes... The narrator by page 9, her wife is left her and she's diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And by page 31, she's forced to step down from a nonprofit aid organization she directs, and is looking at a health insurance expiring within the year. Okay, those things have never ever crossed a book path, right?
Nope, I don't think so.
Wrong. I mean, I've never seen it. I mean, in film, but in books, never seen that. This is quite new. And yeah, I mean, is, I guess, one of those things.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of different elements come into play. It just never has been in book form, more on TV, in different media. This is the first time we're ever seeing it being addressed in a book, too.
I mean, it's in a book. You know, that's the thing. I mean, she is widely known about around the... I mean, it's an angry, funny, clever-written piece that ushers a new wave of disability stories, says Susan Nussbaum of Good Kings, Bad Kings. I mean, the fact is that she has... from what we can see, or at least I can see, that she is... It's one of those things that they, even if you go on her site, nicolagriffith.com, she has a whole thing about creeping up, and theses and cripplet and all of that, and ableism and publishing, and writing disability is the risk of writing running about being disabled. Stuff that you should go and read, because I read it and it's fascinating, because a lot of people, and this was also, she's co-partnered with Alice Wong to host their ninth chat about writing for disabilities from disabilities of disabled writers. That's pretty awesome. But, you know, it's a lot of things.
Yeah.
In this world, I mean,
It definitely brings into play some. It makes it worthwhile too.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just constantly thinking about the norm, and when someone could read what is actually going on, what is currently going on, there's a point where you have to realize what comes into play.
I mean, I think it, what it is, I think what people think about writing disability versus, you know,
well, if you write about disability, you're the only person that's lived through it because you can share your experience having a disability.
Well, you're not, I wouldn't say you're not the only person who's lived through it.
But those who are writing are...
Those who write books on disability and what they've been through, you know, what it's been like for them on a personal level.
And it's,
right.
And each person who has a different ability focuses on their own experience, not what every other person has in comparison to them. It's the opposite of.
Right. And it's the opposite of that always gets people. You know, it got us with tonight's debate about Zuckerberg and his troll site. But, you know, also, you know, it's one of those things when you put it together, it's a perfect combination if you know how to do it right. And some people don't want to share their experiences. Some people do, you know. And this is available on IndieBound, Amazon iBooks, Barnes & Noble, Google Play. And that's in the US. In the UK, it's on Amazon and iTunes. And she even has, I think she recorded the audiobook for, and it was her first professional narration as well.
Mm.
Which, the fact is that, you know, Janice Ian, who did the, who wrote the song 17.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of 17 today. You know, she narrated her thing and won a Grammy for it. Okay. But not every writer can narrate their own books, you know.
Right.
So, which she has an entire article about that too, in the process of it. And which I kind of like that process.
I think, and it's always, I think we have to go.
I think we got to.
Of course we do. We always do. We always do. But, you know.
Time is evil.
Time is very evil. But there's just a lot there. Go to our site.
Yes.
Packed information. And if you like us, follow us on Twitter at AMC Press News for AMC Press & Co. and TSCS Pod for the Satirical Challenge Show.
Yeah.
Hit us up.
Yeah. We don't bite. At least the counterparts who play us don't bite. Yeah, so that's our show. Have a great night, and we will see you on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I did say Wednesday. Anyway, see you on Wednesday. Have a good night, guys.
Good night, folks.
Good night. Bye.